Thomas is answering a text message on the podcast.
Oh, I didn't know we'd started. Hello.
That's fine. Thomas. Thomas just... This is how boring our show is. One of the hosts is texting during the show.
I'm so bored. I'm just kidding. So, it's February 1st.
Right.
And it's as February 1st as it gets outside. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's like 41 with a... and it's gray and...
We did see some cool birds out there today.
We did. You know, the only thing that could make it more February 1st is if it was like 37 and raining. Instead, it's just cold and
but it has been gray. Raining all week.
It's been raining all week. So, right now, we're about 5 weeks away from seeing some color at this point. Like, daffodils on a warm day are going to pop up. And... You know, we'll get a little bit of life. You know, the birds will start coming back in about 8 weeks. And then I'll probably stop recording the show then because I'm just going to be birding 24/7. But I think my question to you, Lee,
right.
On February 1st, we have almost made it through winter, but we still have a stretch left. What is getting you through right now?
Well, what's getting me through right now? One, you got some new couches in your office/high school room, and they kind of remind me of the Gryffindor common room. And
wow, Ravenclaw, Gryffindor,
Slytherin.
This is Hufflepuffy. It's kind of yellow.
Oh, but it's green.
Yeah, but that one's close. Yeah, that was gray though.
Yeah,
yeah.
We need a good yellow.
Couch. We need to bring the green one from the foyer down here.
Okay, but this. So
that's very Gryffindor.
This is, and that makes me happy because I always wanted to be a Gryffindor, and then Erica Byrd said I wasn't.
What are you?
I've never taken the Pottermore test.
Okay, I'm not even going to be surprised. I'm just going to say why.
I don't know. I never.
Do you remember
it.
When I was like 16 and I decided I didn't like Chick-fil-A?
Yes, because you didn't come to my campaigners, and I was invited.
Do you know
you.
Why I did that?
Why?
Just because. Like
you didn't want to hear my Bible study?
No, because I thought it would be cool if I didn't like Chick-fil-A. So that's what I'm saying. When you're saying I've never taken the Pottermore quiz,
it wasn't about coolness.
It's you trying to be a hipster.
I'm not a hipster. But no. So there's a girl named Erica. What's Erica's new last name?
Stanfield.
Okay, Erica Stanfield. Is it Stansfield or Stanfield? How many Stans are there?
Well, they have a baby, so now it's Stans. I think. That was good. I know she doesn't listen to this. That was good. You know, I saw her like 3 months ago at the most random place.
That was so funny.
You know when you see, you're like...
Thomas, I'm still laughing about the Stans. So Erica declared at Young Life Leadership one time that I was a Hufflepuff. And I was like, wait a minute. I've always wanted to be a Gryffindor.
Everybody wants to be a Gryffindor.
Not everybody. Your sister Abby is proud of her Slytherin status.
She's a Slytherin?
Oh, yeah. She's the most Slythery of Slytherins. Yeah. And she's proud of it, too. She's like,
I would have guessed another one of my relatives
she was like,
who happens to also be my sister would be a Slytherin.
I think both your sisters are Slytherins.
Am I a Slytherin?
No, you're like Regulus. You're like Regulus Black. You're in a family of Slytherins, but you're this adorable different house. Huh. What are you? Are you a Gryffindor?
Probably. I would say my dad's probably a Ravenclaw.
That's probably true. What's Becky?
You talking about Becky when she took the quiz or Becky now? That's different.
That's a good point.
Her grad school ain't Slytherin, but her undergrad may have been.
She undergraded in snakes.
Yeah, no, I think she's a Huff now.
Oh, is she?
Me and her together, yeah.
Oh, that's good. You guys look alike.
So you haven't taken the Pottermore quiz?
No, I haven't taken
You don't know your quiz. Patronus?
I don't.
You don't know what wand you have?
No.
Why? I just don't know
I
why.
Don't know. I just never got around to it, okay?
Boo, don't nacho libre me.
That's the actual truth. Okay, if I promise you I'll take it before the week is out, will we be square?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think you meant to say, if I take it before the day's over,
how
we'll
long
be square.
How long does it take?
Not, it's. I don't understand this. That's sorry. Like that's like if
I believe in science.
I'm trying to think of something like if you told me like hey Thomas Oh gosh, I'm trying to think of the best way of wording this.
I've got a parallel.
No, I have a parallel.
Yeah, but I also have a parallel.
Okay, go for it.
Like, if you told me, I'm the biggest Adam Sandler fan you know, but I've never seen Wedding Singer or Mr. Deeds. It would be so weird. And it's like, why haven't you seen him? I just never got around to it, okay?
Oh, sorry. I dozed off. My head hit the mic. We have run that joke into the ground.
It's the perfect
parallel. If you told me, Thomas, at the bottom of that hill over there, there's a trout stream you've never fished before. It's like a tenth of a mile hike. It's full of trout. You can go whenever you want. And you did that in 2010.
That's what the Wedding Singer
said. In 2010, you came out with this thing. Maybe it was like 07. And you said, Thomas, that trout stream's down there. I know you trout fish a lot, and it's your favorite hobby. And instead of having to drive 30 minutes to Norris to do it now, or an hour and a half to the Smokies, you can just walk from your place of work. And I have said to you, hey, Lee, I know you told me that 15 years ago, but I still haven't done it.
I just never got around to it, okay?
I just never got that around to it, okay? I believe in science.
Welcome to Ancient and New. This is a Bible study podcast. Where?
That's like if the Oak Ridge Mall opened a Sarku, Japan, and you were just like, I'm not going. I would be like, what the heck?
The Oak Ridge Mall had the Panda. No, they had Mandarin Express.
They had a great American cookie company. It was,
and they had Petros. And the Petros had a Route 44. And that's what I would get. I would go to the Oak Ridge Mall.
Orange
and get
tea?
Route 44 is a 44-ounce soda.
Yeah.
And I would get the, like, you know, Dr. Pepper. Because, you know, I still had a metabolism back in the days of the Oak Ridge Mall.
Mm.
And then
you could just walk it off.
Oh, yeah, just walk it off.
Because there's no stores. You had to walk.
Do you want to take us somewhere in the scriptures where we can talk about... We're going to talk about versículos in the Bible that we're pumped about this week. Thomas is going
to
yawn.
I'm shaking right now.
Why are you shaking? Just
because you claim to have forgotten more of Harry Potter than anybody will ever know, and you don't even know your house.
Quiz isn't canon, dude.
It was created by Rowling. What? It's her own website. That's not true. Oh my goodness. One Must Sell the Bees, not canon. Great book. You've read it.
I'm reading it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it's good. Not like... It's not like
I just literally
Jabroni Brock just wrote the Pottermore website and said, look, this is cool.
I'm texting Matthew right now.
Why?
Because we've already gotten your word.
Okay. Nacho Libre.
Okay. Go ahead.
Is that what you think it is?
No.
That's what I think yours is, and you got me to say it.
Okay. Let's talk about some scriptures, because that's why we're here.
Yeah. I have to sneeze. I really don't think people listen anymore. We've been like week on, week off for like a month.
It's true.
Sorry, y'all.
All right, where are we going?
We're going to be in Psalm 20, and then we're going to turn the page and go to Psalm 21.
Let's do it.
Or just look in the other half of your Bible. I'm looking ready. At my phone. So I'm making a bit of a stretch here, and I'm reading the one-year Bible, which anyone who's listened to the show for a while knows anytime I get to the one-year Bible, at some point I flake because... It means that I have like
pull the ripcord.
Yeah, it means I've gotten to a place of spiritual unhealth. My theology has been messed up because I have missed a day, and then I have shamed myself into thinking I have failed as a Christian.
Wow.
Which y'all just saw like completely behind the curtain in some of the things I have to fight as a follower of Jesus Christ. So, but a month in, I'm good. I love it.
Let's do it.
All right, so. This is me saying that, like, one day I read Psalm 20. The next day I read Psalm 21, and I saw some things that I really thought was cool. So I'm going to read the first five verses of 20, then I'm going to flip over. Okay?
Carry on.
Ready? This is for the director of music, a Psalm of David.
Hi, buddy. I've never seen Potsy move that fast. So quick. Potsy came in to say hi to us, realized we were recording.
He opened the door twice.
Closed the door, opened it again, did a double take, got super freaked out.
How did we not lock the door? Fast. That's hilarious. That's all crazy. Right. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed.
Wow.
May we shout for joy over your victory and lift up banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests.
Mm.
Okay, so and I'm going to turn the page. This is Psalm 21. Here we go. The king rejoices in your strength, Lord. He is great in his joy. How great is his joy in the victories you give? You have granted him his heart's desire and have not withheld the request of his lips. You came to greet him with rich blessings, and you placed a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked you for life, and you gave it to him. Length of days forever and ever. Through the victories you gave, his glory is great, and you have bestowed on him splendor and majesty. Surely you have granted him unending blessings and made him glad with the joy of your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord through the unfailing love of the Most High. He will not be shaken. Okay, so did you catch the thing that I thought was cool?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. What a great little connection.
Yeah, so like, you know, I don't want to try to make the jump of like, well, one was Psalm 21 or Psalm 21, so clearly it was like David's journal entry from one day, and then he like went out and a few weeks later came back and wrote 21 or something.
The Psalms are weird. They have the way the collection is put together. I mean, like, we're almost positive that Psalm 19 was written when David was a teenager. However, you know, like it doesn't, that doesn't lead us to believe necessarily that Psalm 20 was written when he was a teenager.
Right. See, yeah, there's no, we just, yeah, like there's things that you can surmise from them and understand. The thing that I thought was cool, and this is the jump I am willing to make a little bit, and I don't know if I'm right. I could be way wrong. There could be zero connection. 21 could have been written first. I don't know. But the way I feel about it, and it helped me, was to think about as if in 20, he's saying, may he do these things for you. May he remember you. May he send help. May he give you the desire of your heart. May we shout for joy. May the Lord grant all your requests. Like, here's David saying that. And here on 21... how great is his joy in the victories you give. You've granted him his heart's desire. You've not withheld the request of his lips. You greet him with rich blessings. The victories you gave. There's just like these cool like answers, it feels like.
Yeah, the heart's desire thing is so specific.
Yeah, so there you go. And then it felt like here are things that like I'm asking and hoping for, and here's my answer to them. And I have reasons to be grateful and praising them. This actually comes from me like a week and a half ago reading another place where it was a little bit more obvious and I couldn't remember where it was. I wrote it down and bring my journal, but I saw this one again when I was trying to establish it, but or trying to remember where it was. And I just felt, I feel like I'm in a season right now where the Lord is like, he is pointing out things he's doing for me, which is silly. Like, and they're not big, you know what? What?
That's what you kept saying the other night when you were at Young Life Club when you were that character. That's silly. That's just silly.
It's funny. Like, this is just a side note. Like last fall, Rob was like, "Hey, this character, whatever you're doing, you should just say the word silly a lot and see what happens." So I've just taken it and run. But there's this show that surely somebody who listens to our podcast will know called well, we just call it Miss Rachel, but she's this YouTuber who does, so it's called Songs for Littles, but she does.
Oh yeah.
And I know. She'll
it's the sign language lady.
Yeah. And she'll say some things and she'll go, "That's silly. That's so silly." And I realized that's what I was doing an impression of yesterday.
It's so funny.
Right. Monday at club. But anyways, I feel like he's been like just pointing out little things that he's doing for me, like making them clear. And it's been really helpful and really cool. And, but also there's some intentionality to that. It's funny, like the idea that like in the Lord doing that for me, I've had a couple of very tangible moments where I felt him almost being like, "Hey, did you catch that? Look at this."
That's cool.
Now, just in this season of life that I'm in, I'm more perceptive to it.
Yeah.
I'm more perceptive to saying like, "Oh, he just did this really cool thing for me." Like I'm starting to catch on to him now.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to point out to him like, "Hey, I saw that. That was cool. Thank you." Like this morning it was so ridiculous, but last night before bed, Maddie said, "Lord, I'm praying that Jude will sleep till 8 tomorrow." And at 8:04, he started crying.
Wow.
Yeah, it was just like, oh, you did the thing. Like, and it could be so easy just to say, like, eh, like, whatever. It's pretty normal for him to sleep till like 7:45. So, like, yeah. He just, like, you know, he just had a good night's sleep. But I'm just going to say, hey, she asked for it.
Yeah.
And it happened. So,
well, I mean, there's that scripture that says, you have not because you ask not.
There you go. So, like, if I ask and it happens, who else am I to give thanks to for?
Right.
Besides the Lord. If I am looking for a parking space at the basketball game last night and I find one after I've asked the Lord for one,
nice.
I'm going to thank him for
it. That's pretty slick.
Like, just, I don't know. Anyways, I imagine David, and I could be wrong. This is me being, like, adding fiction to something, or it could be fact, and I don't know. There need to be a word for that. It's like unagi or something like that. There's something that
it's fan fiction.
Okay. It's non-canonical.
It's not canon.
Yeah, but it is much because like J.K. Rowling wrote it. So, I'm just deciding that maybe like at one point David was asking for these things and then he got them and he's writing them down, and however many thousands of years later, I'm seeing it.
Yeah, it's just so cool that Psalm 20, verse 4, may he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. Psalm 21, verse 2, you have granted him his heart's desire and have not withheld the request of his lips.
Mm.
That's just so kind. I have a thing that I'm praying for really hard, and I have been thinking about it all day. I just have a good friend who has a big job interview today. And it's one of these things of like, for this friend, it would just be the most perfect job ever. If he doesn't get it, I know the Lord's up to something in his life, but like, come on, give it, like, this job, it's not just that this would be a good job for him. This would be the desire of his heart. Mm-hmm. Like, and so I feel myself praying this verse. I'm just like, I don't even have anything clever or insightful to add to this. I'm just saying that as a human being, on behalf of my friend, I'm saying, grant him his heart's desire, please. And it's cool that sometimes in life you can turn the page and see that that's happened.
Yeah. Oh, that was like a thing. That was like a Ted Mosby quote. I like that.
Oh,
sometimes in life you can turn the page and see that it's happened.
I like that. Yeah. Can we turn the page one more time?
Theodore to Evelyn Psalm 22. Mosby. Yeah. Wow. I knew this and I forgot. We are in back Psalm to back 20, to back.
Psalm 21.
We just 22. Went back to back to back to back.
Yeah. Psalm 22 is one of the most, it's a famous psalm because our Lord quoted from it on the cross. And he quoted from this, and then he quoted later on the cross, he quoted from Psalm 31. And some scholars say that he may have quoted straight through because he had all this stuff memorized, and, you know, boys in Hebrew school memorized all this stuff. That what if he was just like quoting the whole time, just like, and by the way, they didn't learn this stuff by saying it. They learned these psalms by singing them. So what if Jesus on the cross was singing from Psalm 22
to the tune of through the Doe of the Morning.
That's right. Straight through to Psalm 31, which is Psalm 31 is the one that has the into your hands I commit my spirit.
I love that there is to the tune of the Doe of the Morning. And there's other songs that say to the tune of blank.
Yeah.
And like
Lilies of the Morning.
Lilies of the Valley.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like, obviously there's not like a radio station where they're like, oh, learn this song.
Yeah, let's hear what this tune sounds like. Yeah, because we don't have any record of what the tune.
But it's cool to think about, like,
yeah,
like I am going to, like, you know, today I've had various songs stuck in my head and I've played them and listened to them. Like, I imagine David going on a walk down the street and whistling a song.
I just had that thought of when Rob Logan texted us the other day that somebody tweeted that during the Super Bowl halftime, they should just have Billy Joel playing his piano and singing Uptown Girl. Yeah. But instead of the words Uptown Girl, that same tune, but the words Halftime show.
Halftime show. Dun, 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 dun,
halftime show. So that's the idea here. Okay, this is Psalm 22. For the director of music to the tune of The Doe of the Morning, a Psalm of David. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? So this is, Jesus literally quoted this on the cross, saying like, why, where did you go, God? Like where, and this is like the moments when the unfathomable happened, which is like that God the Father turned away from God the Son. My daughter Anna, who's a freshman in college at Tennessee Technological University, texted me the other day, and she was at the service for her campus ministry, and she said the guy that was preaching was, he was doing a great job, and he was just being really funny, and he was saying like what's the saddest thing you can imagine? And he's and he gave him a minute to think about it, and he said, for me, the saddest thing I could imagine would be like the breakup of the Trinity. And everybody's kind of giggling or whatever. And then I told Anna, I was like, tell him not to read Matthew 27:26, because literally that's when Jesus quotes Psalm 22. Anyway, so that's what's going on here. Like the Father turns away from the Son. And just there are some unbelievable verses that are like, wow. This thing that David is writing, this never happened to David in his life. He's literally just prophesying about the crucifixion. He talks about, he says, dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. Well, that never happened to David. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. It's like, whoa, this is a direct, this is 1,000 years before the crucifixion. It's just, it's amazing. It's just direct prophecy. But at the end of it, okay, I want to go all the way to the end. There's this amazing thing. And then, just a great Eric Rice quote. This is verse 27. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him, for dominion belongs to him, or belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him. Those who cannot keep themselves alive, posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it. He's done it. And that's such a beautiful place that the psalm ends. It's like the Lord, he prophesies the death of the Messiah. And then talks about the resurrection. He's not going to stay in his grave. He's going to get up, and people are going to bow down before him. Generations yet unborn will declare, they will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it. And I love this because that was us. We were the people that were yet unborn, and he's done it. There's a, you and I have talked about this before, but I kind of read the Gospels over and over and over again. And when I'll start with Matthew and I'll go straight through John. And when I finish John, I'll go back and start at Matthew again. I want to keep myself constantly in the words of Jesus and the teachings of Jesus and the ministry of Jesus. And there's always a thing, and I pretty much always, in all four Gospels, when it happens, I always write it down. Like when they, in the moment where they crucify him, they're so understated about it, because they'll just say like, and there they crucified him. And they don't go into detail about it. They just say, like, they crucified him. And I always write that down in my journal. And I write down, it really happened. Mm-hmm. You did it. Like, you've done it. You did this once and for all. And it's been done for me. And I just love that this psalm that starts out with such despair, God, why have you forsaken me? The place it ends is, he's risen from the dead, and they will proclaim his righteousness to a generation yet unborn, saying, he has done it. It can't be undone. He did it.
Yeah, the line that says, those who cannot keep themselves alive. That right there.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's so easy to, whether you're a Christian, whatever, whether you're whoever, just like, I love that you said, like, You did it. You've done it. You've done it. Because it can be such an easy thing for us to Like, I think about, we just left the Christmas, well, a month and a half past really like peak Christmas season. And you just see little plastic light up figurines of the nativity scene. And it's so easy to place that as that, like, it's that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you drive around town around Easter and you see, you know, he is risen in people's yards, and you see, you know, crosses with different color things hanging on them and whatever. And it's just so easy to place the time of Jesus and his actions and things that he did and all of it in a land of almost like, yeah, it's just the stories that we know. Like, yeah, they're real cool. But I don't know how often we, like when I read that line right there, those who cannot keep themselves alive, like, if people thought about that more and let that, just the weight of how real that feels, like, people who cannot keep themselves alive, like, we get 70 or 80 years if it goes well, you know? Like, if I don't step out this door and Potsy backs into me with his CRV, like, we're, you know, like, health-wise, that's as long as I get. There's nothing I can do to promote that, right, or prolong that. It better be real. This better be real to us. And if you want anything real, this better be real if you want anything real. And I love that,
yeah,
there's this moment, like, that connects this, not as this, like, you know, like, at the time David wrote this, I don't know if he knew what was going on as these words left his mouth or were written on a piece of paper, however it was, or like if anybody caught on to it. And it's so funny to me that when there's like a prophecy with direct quotes and then people say them again later, like, he trusts the Lord, they say, let the Lord rescue him. Yeah. It's like when you're uttering, whoever uttered that at the cross, like, wait, where have I heard that before?
Hey, we should roll dice for this dude's clothes.
Yeah, it's a great idea. Yeah. I don't know. Just like there's a thing in me that's like, as I'm reading this, I want to never forget how real this is. The blood was real. The nails were real. And they were, in fact, they were talked about 1,000 years before it actually happened. And they've been in motion for a long time.
Yeah. And I love that you pointed out this verse about those who can't keep themselves alive. It's like, there's nothing I can do for myself. I can't rescue myself. I can't change the course of my behavior, stop my actions, or clean up the mess that I've become. And I have as little power over that as I have just to literally keep myself alive, past my time. I can't do it.
Yeah.
But for all those who can't keep themselves alive, we have this to declare. He has done it. Yeah. He did it. Like you said, it's real. The blood was real. The nails were real. He really stopped breathing, and then he really came back 3 days later. So cool.
Yeah. You know what else is real?
What?
Pottermore is real.
Oh, my gosh. Is that what I'm doing today? I need to go on Pottermore and take the quiz?
Yes, Lee. I guarantee you right now. Right now.
Can I ask you a question?
If I said Chris Thiele is playing at the Shell at Civic Center, you would go. You wouldn't even question it.
Of course.
If I said Sarku Japan opened in the Oak Ridge Mall and they're serving up some brand new hibachi food, you would go and you would eat it right now.
Yeah.
If I said to you, hey, Lee, there is a... there is a parrot that just like somehow flew north for the winter, didn't realize it, and it is in this pine tree out here. You would go look at it. And I'm telling you right now, there is a website created by the author of Harry Potter who can tell you exactly, as if the Sword and Hat was on top of your head, whispering into your ear.
Hold on. But for our viewing audience, listening audience, what house do you think I'm in? And here's another question. Do you think that there's a relationship between Harry Potter houses and Enneagram numbers?
Yeah, I can see that.
If you were gonna place the disciples in a Hogwarts house, what house would you put them in?
Oh, that's a great question. Peter is a Gryffindor.
Okay.
I think. John's a Ravenclaw.
John, I was gonna say John was a Hufflepuff.
Really? He seems so intellectual to me.
Mm.
I think James is a Hufflepuff. I think Andrew's a Hufflepuff.
Oh, Andrew's definitely a Hufflepuff. Yeah,
like I'm just like, you know, we all know who the Slytherin is. Yeah, like
with your sisters.
Oh gosh.
Hey, this is a good survey question for Sunday nights. Is put Bible characters into a Hogwarts
one.
House.
That's a great one. Wow.
Hey, folks.
You don't think Peter would be a Gryffindor?
I do.
I do too.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just think about how, like,
I just don't know if John's a Ravenclaw. That was my only thing.
Oh yeah. Really?
No, I definitely think Peter's
Matthew's a Ravenclaw.
Oh yeah, Matthew's definitely a Ravenclaw.
Yeah. I know he's not a disciple, but Mark's the Hufflepuff. There is. Dude, he's like the worst version of Hufflepuff. Right?
Gotta be. Oh, gosh. The Apostle Paul, he's a Ravenclaw.
Well, he had a turn of phrase there at some point, right? He started one
started
way.
As a yeah. Slytherin.
And then the scales fell off his eyes.
Well, yeah. That's literally scales.
Yeah, they
that's
did.
That's why Dumbledore said, I sometimes worry that we sort too early.
Yeah. I think that happened to me. Because I've taken quizzes since in the last 2 years, and I've become a Gryffindor.
Would you say it's not canon? Would you the start as?
I've always been a Hufflepuff.
Huff.
Yeah, but I see it more in myself now. Because you can take, you know what would be so easy is if I get a text from you later and it says, I'm a Gryffindor. And it's like, well, yeah. I mean, like, anybody who loves Harry Potter knows how to answer these quizzes to be what they are.
I promise you, have to be honest. Here that if I take the Pottermore quiz, I will take it.
With
total integrity. Total integrity.
Okay.
Said if so.
What's BP?
Oh, that dude's a Slytherin.
Yeah, he is.
Guys, I'm Lee.
I'm Thomas.
This has been Ancient and New.
All to Jesus I surrender all. To him I freely I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live.
One, two, three.
I feel